Almost Super by Marian Jensen. Chapter 23. Would you be so kind as to explain this mess? In a flash, Benny was by my side. What's that sound? He asked. I had just spotted the aircraft and pointed towards the flashing lights in the sky. Helicopter. It must be Dirk. I don't think that's one of ours, Benny said. He was right. It didn't have the Bailey family colors. I looked over at Juanita. You guys have a helicopter? She shook her head. If we've got one, I've never seen it. The helicopter came to a rest on the ground. I could see the moon and the stars reflecting in the gleaming black metal. Wind from the blades tore at my coat, and I took an involuntary step back, shielding my eyes. The engine began to wind down. For a moment, nothing happened. The helicopter sat there like a bug staring at us, as if it was waiting for us to make the first move. There was no question in my mind. The Jones family had arrived. The tactical side of my brain took over. Inside the helicopter were the Joneses, but I had no idea how many or what powers they had. What I did know was that there were only three of us to stand against them. I still had my phone in my hand, and it still had Dad's number on the screen. I hit the send button. Hello? I heard Dad's voice. I also heard a lot of shouting. Rafter, I'm a bit busy here. One of the Johnsons has Uncle Ralph in a headlock, and your Aunt Verna won't stop. I then saw Juanita pull out her own phone. Dad, I said, there's no time to explain. Benny and I are in trouble. That was all it took. Trouble? I heard Dad cover the phone with his hand and heard a muffled shout through the phone. It's the boys! They're in danger! Dad said, becoming louder on the phone. We'll be there in 10 minutes. Juanita spoke into her phone, and after a moment, she hung up and said, My family's on the way, too. I looked at the helicopter. The whine of the motor became quieter, and the blades slowed. We had to stall for 10 minutes. We had to survive for 10 minutes. At least we had our superpowers. The helicopter door slid open. A pilot sat in the controls. In the middle section of the helicopter, where three or even four people could fit, sat a single man. A man who took up the entire space. I've never seen anybody as big as the man who stepped out of the helicopter. He had to bend over at the waist until he was out from under the blades. He wore a suit, not a space suit, but an actual suit and tie. The man was bald, just like Charles, and I was surprised to see a similar metal plate attached to his head. He had a round and puffy face, and his eyes were thin, black slits. When he stood up straight, I realized he had to be at least 7 feet tall. His arms were like tree branches and legs as thick as telephone poles. The man looked strong, terribly strong. I smiled in the darkness. My first real challenge. The man's head was like a rock. It turned first one way and then another. His gaze rested on Charles, who was still lying on the ground. He'd somehow managed to get his hands in front of him and had pulled the tape from his mouth. The giant spoke, his voice deep and rough.
Charles, would you be so kind as to explain this mess?
Charles struggled to sit up. There's no mess, Grandpa. A minor setback, that's all. I was just about to wrap things up when you got here. Grandpa, the large man standing before me was the head of the entire family? October Jones? The giant paused for a moment, not saying a word. The silence was awkward. Finally, he spoke.
Well then, Charles, if you've got everything under control, I'll see you back at headquarters.
No, Charles said. getting up on his knees. Grandpa, I'm sorry. These kids, they're monsters. Please, Grandpa, I need your help. The big guy turned to look at Benny, Juanita, and me. Another pause. The tactic side of my brain tingled. Something wasn't right.
So you've been beaten by three children?
The giant said.
Charles, just when I think you can't set my expectations any lower, you botch things up in a way I couldn't possibly believe.
The giant laughed, and it sounded like a cement truck barreling down a gravel road. My heart pounded, but I cleared my mind. I looked around, drawing the dump again in my head. Each person and vehicle became a dot. Charles, Juanita, Benny, the giant, the helicopter, the van. I made a list of everything I had to use in a fight. Something still tickled the back of my mind.
Enough!
The giant roared.
Charles, it's time you learned a lesson. Watch how it's done.
The giant began to walk towards us. I was probably imagining it, but I thought I felt the ground shaking underneath our feet. I looked at the helicopter, at the giant. He kept pausing before he spoke. What was I missing? I saw a flash of light on the side of the giant's head. Moonlight reflected in the darkness. And I knew the answer. I formed a plan. Benny, I said, speaking slow and clear, when I give the word, you go left. Make sure Charles doesn't interfere. If he tries to levitate anybody, keep him busy. Benny nodded. A fierce smile crept over his face. Juanita, I said, you go right and try to distract the giant.
Wait a minute, Juanita said. You want me to take on the big guy? Aren't you the one who just got super strength?
The giant was 20 feet from us. Use your power, I pointed to the van.
Or, if the van still works, see if you can distract him with that.
Juanita looked like she wanted to argue, but there was no point in waiting any longer.
Go!
I shouted. Both of them moved, our first battle. And still, we were working like a team. Benny went left. Juanita went right. I stepped forward, walking toward the giant. We met in the middle and stopped. I had to look up to see his face. His head turned, first to look at Benny, then at Juanita. Finally, his gaze came to rest on me. I felt power surging through my muscles. The man before me was strong. He had to be. But I was stronger. Again, the pause. The giant stood there as if he didn't know what to say or what to do. And then he spoke.
Tonight is not your lucky night, little boy.
No, I said. I believe it is. Two things happened at once. To my left, Charles got to his feet, only to be rewarded by Benny charging into his stomach. They both fell to the ground. To my right, the black and smoldering van roared to life. Juanita sat behind the wheel, tugging at the gear shift. The wipers turned on, then off. The van lurched, stopped, then lurched again. The giant turned his head to look at the van. The headlights flared to life, and the giant shielded his eyes. With the van lights bathing us, I could see a small coil of wire coming out of the collar of the suit, ending near the giant's ear. An earpiece. October Jones, the real villain, was here, but he wasn't the hulking figure in front of me. Every time the giant had spoken, there had been a pause, as if he'd been waiting for instructions. I remembered a line from The Wizard of Oz.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. I raced forward, not at the hulking figure, but around him toward the helicopter. Sitting in the pilot's seat was a figure, a small figure, bent over and frail, almost invisible behind the windshield. If my hunch was right, this was the real October Jones.